Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, episode 114 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Tyler and Coomzy with you. As always, the podcast is delivered by our friends at DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter. It's a new code, Coomzy.
It's game day era. 25.
Game day 25. Pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew. Ding dong.
Yeah. Ding dong. Shout out to DoorDash. That is 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order. Promo code game day 25. Also, if/when the Blue Jays make the playoffs, we got some more very, very exciting stuff that you are going to want to tune in for with our friends at DoorDash.
That's exciting.
We ain't playing around anymore, Coomzy. Giving you real savings.
That's right. That's what I like to hear. That's all about ordering food during the Blue Jays game and having it not cost quite as much.
That is what we are all about here at Blue Jays Nation Radio. Let's dig into this thing. The Jays go into the Trop, just a cursed ballpark, and they come away with a split, which we would have liked 3 or 4, sure, but a split, that's not that bad. They survived it. Like, this was a survive the series kind of week.
There's something we have to acknowledge immediately off the top is that how mad would you be right now if everything had flipped? And they won the first two games, and they lost the second two games.
Livid.
We'd be furious, and we feel great now.
Yeah. It's a Monday, sunshine, and we're feeling good.
It felt like they pulled off a sweep. They went into the weekend having lost the first two games, and it was like, oh, man, they're going to get swept by the Rays, passed in the standings. This is a nightmare. They won the two weekend games, and it feels like they swept the series.
Exactly.
I forgot about the first two games. All I think about is Saturday and Sunday.
I am here to remind you about the first two games, though. So let's get into the three up, three down, starting with the down from this last series against the Rays. Game one, Jose Berríos on the bump. He looked like he was maybe starting to put together some momentum, and it feels like anytime this guy's ERA gets below 5, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? Totally shit my pants. And that's exactly what he did in that first game. That was bad. Just bad, 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 bad. Can't happen in a big start with a guy who you're paying $20 million.
Yeah, the under 5 ERA pattern thing is really bizarre. There was points in June where he got it down to 4.65, which was fantastic. And then he goes out and gets lit up by the White Sox. And then there was that really good stretch of starts he had in July. It goes down to 4.96. Then he goes and gets lit up by his former team in Minnesota, the Twins. And then there's this start here too. He's, he put together maybe his best stretch of starts. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 starts in which only one wasn't a quality start, and that was still 5 2/3 innings, 4 runs, far from bad. And then goes into Tampa in a very important game to set the tempo in the series against a team that's right behind the Jays in the standings and poops his pants. Turns into a bit of a pumpkin, and I guess the question now is Jose Berríos someone you're going to lean on in the playoffs? Is he getting a start? Is Ross Stripling the guy in front of him? It's hard to say. His home and away splits have become pretty extreme. The OPS that he's allowing when on the road is 9.13. At home, it's 7.25. Not amazing at home, but really bad on the road.
So is that actually something you'd take into consideration? Like, it's a best of three series in the wild card round. They're pretty much locked into that wild card round. They're 8.5 back of the Yankees. So if it's at home and you're taking on either the Rays or Mariners at the Rogers Center, are you actually more confident in Berríos going game three, or are you going Stripling no matter what?
I'm not sure if I'm confident in him in any situation. And I mean, it feels kind of unfortunate to say that because, you know, we've been talking for about a month now, being like, oh, if Jose Berríos has a big September, a big stretch drive, then none of this bullshit matters. But maybe that's not actually true because, I mean, one start in Tampa that was really quite bad seemed to derail about a month's worth of good starts. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at. I'm not the home and away splits do say something, but if it really comes down to it and you do Manoah Gausman game one and two, and then you got to pick between him and Stripling, Stripling's been the more consistent pitcher. And I'm not sure if it really matters whether they're home or away. I think Berríos might be the number four option here.
I think I agree with you. It's a shame that this outing in Tampa Bay happened because we aren't having this conversation. If he goes out and pitches six innings of two-run ball, it was his fourth start in the month of September and the first time he's given up more than two earned runs. Also the first time he's not pitched through the sixth inning. So it's just, it can't be happening right now. Again, it's a guy you paid a lot of money this winter. You committed to be a front of the rotation kind of starter for you, and you're just not getting anywhere near those kind of results. So the bad Berríos start is our first down from this series, and game two really didn't get any better for the Toronto Blue Jays. They give up 10 runs, but granted, they were in that ball game for a while. Mitch White, I mean, at least the guy was able to eat up four innings for you, but that wasn't a super like inspiring performance by Mitch White either. Just overall, the game two of this series, again, not finding a way to get it done.
Yeah, it was the same. It's been the same story for the past little while, and I think you have to wonder at this point, has the bullpen been leaned on a little bit too heavily? Are they burning out a little bit? Jimmy Garcia had, it wound up being four runs, though only one was earned because of the Bobichet error. I'm not going to blame Jimmy for this one. He's been fantastic for the Jays, but also Tim Mayza and Anthony Bass, they both allow runs too. It was the positive you can take from game two against Tampa is the bats allowed the team to get back in it. And I think that's positive. Going down at the Trop is a pretty daunting thing. Tampa has good pitching, but they fought back and brought themselves back in the mix. But then the bullpen shit their pants again. But a lot of that rally in the eighth inning there started when G-Man Choi took a walk that he shouldn't have taken. That should have been a strike.
Yeah.
And that just completely changed the inning because you now have a pinch runner, somebody with wheels, someone to distract your pitcher, someone who can steal a base, someone who does ultimately go from first to third on a single, and then it just changes the whole complexion of the inning. I don't want to sit here and whine and be like, oh man, the umpire cost the Jays a game because, you know, the pitching wasn't phenomenal in that game by any stretch of the imagination, but
it was like the last time they played the Rays and they lost 11-0, and it was like, oh, Gausman, like, ugly start. He gave up five runs, and you go back to the start, and it's like, well, hold up. No, he had given up one run in, like, the third inning, and he should have struck out a guy to end the inning. The inning goes on, he gives up, like, four runs, and, like, that changes things. And you're right, it's kind of cheap to, like, sit there and be like, oh, umps cost us the game, because, like, they never really do, but there's no denying that's a pivotal moment in that ballgame.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if that's a strikeout, then I'm reasonably confident that Jimmy Garcia is able to get through that inning. Yep. And yeah, and I mean, I feel like the real down from this one, unfortunately, is the Bobichet error that let the inning get out of control. That was the unfortunate part. And I made an observation on the Blue Jays Nation Twitter account during this game, and it was the shitty thing about playing at the Trop is you expect weird, annoying Trop things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're prepared for it, you know it's going to be there. You know it's going to be a grind. You know it's going to be ugly. Even when those shitty things happen, they're so frustrating, and you cannot brace yourself. You just can't.
Yeah, and the Bo thing, I mean, he's been hitting the ball so well. Like,
yeah.
Even still, he's cooled off like a little bit here recently. I shouldn't even say cooled off. He's not like out of this world hot anymore. He's just on like a normal hot streak, batting 300 over his last seven games, over his last 30 at-bats. But that error, like,
that was a backbreaker.
And you sit there, and when you got to, you would have been going to the ninth down by only one. So, like, obviously, no guarantee you win that ball game or come back. They didn't score a run in the ninth anyway, so it probably didn't cost them the game. But it's the fact that you got to sit, watch that, stew on it as the Rays continue to rally and go, I mean, is Bobichet going to do this in game five of the ALCS if they make it that right? Is Bobichet going to do this in game three of the wild card series? Like, it's concerning that that's a routine play that your shortstop should make. And I'm not saying that the Jays need to go into this winter and trade Bobichet or find a shortstop because Bo can't play short. I believe this guy's going to be a shortstop for a very long time in this league. He's still young. Defense can come. He works very hard on it based on all the reports. He's usually the first guy out there taking reps, getting his early ground balls, and like he's working on it and he's young. So I want to cut him some slack, but at the same time, it's so frustrating because it's September and it's a big game. Can't happen.
It is, and it's there's you're allowed to feel two different ways about it. You're allowed, like you said, sit there. Big picture, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
But shrink it down, micro look a little bit more. There's earnestly reason for anxiety that this is the kind of thing that could happen in a key spot in a playoff game, especially if they're playing in Tampa, where these things do seem to just happen.
But if it's at the Dome, these things won't happen, which is why you needed to go get the last two wins of that series to keep yourself in front of the Rays in the AL wildcard standing so you can hopefully lock up home field advantage in that first round of the playoffs. Let's get to the up from this series. If there is a big game, and we actually found out before the series, if there's a big game 162 for this team, Alek Manoah is in line to do it, and John Schneider kind of made it sound like if they need to rely on Manoah in game 162 to ensure they get home field in round one, they would do it. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, it is really interesting. So, because one thing that people haven't really, that hasn't really been in the discourse with this is everyone's kind of looking at game 162 with Manoah as, okay, they're going to put him out there and they're going to win automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's absolutely reason to look at it this way because as we're going to touch on in a sec, how great he was on Saturday and what was pretty much a must win game for the Jays after they had gone down 2-0 in the series. There's a chance that the Jays could send him out there on 162 and lose that game to the Orioles. And then maybe they're going on the road in a 3-game playoff series.
Yeah.
Without Alek Manoah in their rotation, in which the whole discussion, are you nervous about Jose Berríos? Do you like Ross Stripling more? It's moot because both of them are going to be lined up to pitch in the series, so who cares? I don't know. I understand the merits as to why the Blue Jays would really want to push to have home field advantage. They have been, I mean, their home and road splits aren't substantial. They're 43-32 at home, 43-35 on the road. It's not like last year where they were playing in Dunedin and Buffalo and the road was a lot harder. But, you know, everyone likes playing at home and the away situations are pretty bad. Like, I don't think you want to make a cross-country flight to Seattle when the Mariners are going to be in their first, you know, playoff game since 2001. Mm-hmm. We obviously don't want to go to the Trop. We all know why. And I don't know. I think, and then there's Cleveland too, the winner of the Central Division. It's kind of like, you know, you don't really want to do that either. They have a fantastic pitching rotation. They're better at home than they are on the road. So I do get it, but I would rather have Alek Manoah lined up for game one on the road than not have him at home at all in a playoff series, I think.
So I just looked up the schedule here since we're having this conversation now. The wild card series goes the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October. The Jays game 162 is on the 5th. So, I mean, you could pitch them on 3 days rest for a potential game three of that series, which I feel like they probably would.
You'd think.
So maybe that's where I see the logic in it, is if you don't want him to get, you know, guy has a rhythm throughout the season. If you didn't start him game 162, it's an extra 2 days off, right, until he would start on Friday the 7th. Maybe you do throw him out game 162 for like 70 pitches, 65 pitches. And you go, okay, he's relatively fresh. We're confident he can do his thing on 3 days rest if we need him in game three. If not, we're going Gausman and Stripling and just hoping we sweep the series as well, because that's another side of it. Maybe you wouldn't even need him in a best of three, especially if you're at home. I think I'd give them a much better chance. The best part, Cam, or the best case scenario would probably be that you just handle the Yankees and Red Sox and you lock up home field before that series against Baltimore, and then we're not sitting here being like, oh, who are they going to start when? It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, ideally the Jays just explode and finish off these final nine games of the season, do like a 7-2 or even a 6-3. It's going to be hard for Tampa or Seattle to jump them if they do that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they just take care of business and it's not a problem, because again, like, it would be really, really, really unfortunate if the Jays had a playoff series and we didn't get to see Alek Manoah pitch.
It would be.
That would be, that wouldn't be ideal.
But the up from this series against Tampa is that he was just Cy Young-like. Yeah. In that start, 7 innings, no earned runs, just an absolute machine. They ran the pitch count up as well, and it just didn't seem to faze him as well. A comment he made after the game about that too, kind of chuckling and saying like that was for the haters who said, you know, I'm losing steam or whatever. Like, he was just so good in that entire start. You pointed out an interesting question on Twitter we got, though.
Yeah, there was an interesting question from Roman on Twitter. And I don't think he was trying to be divisive with this at all or start controversy, but I thought it was a really interesting question because Vladdy's kind of been the face of the franchise since before he got called up. It was Vladdy and then it was Bo and Vlad. It was both of them. And now it seems like maybe it's changed a little bit. And the question was, if you could only keep one between Vladdy and Alek Manoah, who would it be?
I'm trying to remove like recency bias because that would just lead you to saying, no question about it, it's Manoah.
Easily.
Right? Guy's in his second season in the league, borderline Cy Young, but it's easy to forget amidst Vladdy not being as great as he was last year that, 12 months ago, we were talking about a guy who had a very good chance to win the MVP if Shohei Ohtani wasn't an absolute freak of nature.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of this question as like, what if Vladdy was having the season he did last year right now at the same time Manoah was having the season he's having? Which one would you value more? Which player at their peak brings you more value?
I guess it depends on who you are and what else you have on your team.
They have Gausman.
They have Gausman. They also have, you know, Barrios. You'd think he maybe
Ricky
rebounds.
Ricky Tiedemann.
There's more arms. Vladdy, if you take him off of the... If you take him away from the offense, what do you have left? I mean, still a pretty good offense.
Yeah.
It's a hard question to answer. I mean, it's almost like taking the mid-late 2000s Jays and saying, would you rather have Carlos Delgado or Roy Halladay?
Yeah. The nice part is the Jays should have both for about the next decade plus.
That's what I'm thinking here is let's not even have this discussion and make it moot and just make it so they're both Blue Jays forever.
Yeah.
Which would be ideal because both Roy Halladay and Carlos Delgado weren't, and it's unfortunate. So let's make sure Alec Manoah and Vladdy are both forever Blue Jays.
The next up we have from this series, I'll throw it to you with a question. Who's more valuable to the Jays, Alec Manoah or Whit Merrifield, but he always hits like he's at Tropicana Field?
Yeah, this trade, it was one that was somewhat confounding. And I think Whit Merrifield, they had a hilarious stat where the Jays were significantly worse when he was starting in terms of wins and losses.
They had lost like 7 in a row. It was brutal.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault, but reality is that Whit Merrifield hasn't been fantastic since coming over in that trade. But for his career playing at the Trop, he is 20 for 61 with 6 homers and a 1.077 OPS. So maybe they were like, you know what? We got to get this guy and he's going to slay the dragon. And that's what he did. He comes up with this huge homer. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. You didn't see this coming. He hits the kind of the random irrelevant home run late in the game. It was either the first game or the second game.
He had 2 bombs.
He had 2 bombs in the first game. Yeah, that's right. He hit one. I think the game was already out of reach. And then, he's the one to come through in the third game when they badly needed somebody to come through. You're like, you know, who's going to be the guy that comes up with the big hit the team needs? And it's inexplicably Whit Merrifield. But maybe it's not inexplicable because this guy, for some reason, really sees the ball in Tampa. And this might be very important if the Jays have to go to Tampa in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, his career numbers at the Trop, 20 for 61, 6 home runs, 1.077 OPS. That is remarkable. 6 home runs and 61 ABs in any scenario is remarkable. So Whit Merrifield breaks at the Trop, and it was great to see him get that big home run because, you know, he's a guy who has never played in the playoffs in his career.
Nope.
Never even really had much of, like, a meaningful playoff race in his career. So it feels good that for him to see him hit that big home run, look back at the dugout, and kind of put his stamp on this run to the postseason for the Jays. Like, on a personal level, it felt good for the guy, right? Because the Royals were junk every year he was there, right?
Because he came up in 2016, and that was just as they were cooling off. So after they won the World Series in 2015, unfortunately, in 2016, allegedly, the Royals won the World Series in 2015. I've heard rumors about it. I don't know if it's accurate. They go 81-81. That's his first year. And then after that, it's not that bad again. It's 80-82, but then they fall off a cliff. 58-104, 59-103, and then the COVID year, 26-34. Not even close that year. Mm-hmm. 2021, 74-88. This year, they're obviously dog shit again. So, and he's also not a young guy. Like, he came up when he was like 25. Mm-hmm. Whit Merrifield's, I think he's like 33 or something by now. So good for him to finally get it.
Yep. They also got big homers in this series from Teoscar Hernandez, who just hit an absolute moonshot. I'm surprised it didn't hit the catwalk. Like, that thing was gone.
That was maybe the biggest home run I've ever seen a Blue Jay hit in the Trop.
464? I bet you it's up there.
It's up there.
Alejandro Kirk had a big home run, and then George Springer hits 2 home runs in the series finale as well. Wouldn't it be nice if George Springer flexes his postseason muscles coming up here? Hey, that's a guy who you brought in for stretches like this, right? Last few weeks of the regular season and playoff George Springer, you're expecting an uptick in production. They got that Sunday.
You are, and you honestly, George Springer, it was a good series against Tampa Bay, and that's what you want. He's the guy who always came through for the Astros when they were in the playoffs. He had his huge World Series against the Dodgers that year in 2017. He's always been clutch, and that's what they need. It can't be, you know, it was Bo in the first half of the month. It can't be Bo for the entire time. He's not going to, you know, dominate for a month and a half. It's not reasonable. So somebody else has to get hot. And I think one thing we've seen with this team now over the past few weeks is it's someone different contributing. It's always someone different. It was on Saturday, Whit Merrifield randomly comes through with the home run. And then in the next game, it's George Springer, two dingers. It was Bo for the first half of the month. It's, you know, it's someone different every time. Raimel Tapia is coming up with big hits. Yeah. There's a lot of depth.
Yeah, there is. It's been great. Our third up, we had Ross Stripling in the bullpen in game four of that series, was really strong as well, holding the Rays to just one run. It was Stripling going five. Zach Pop, really good outing from Zach Pop. I was impressed with him. Then Simber Richards and our boy Yusei Kikuchi strikes out two in his one inning of work. Is Yusei Kikuchi heating up right before the postseason, you may ask? I'm hoping we don't have to find out if he's a good postseason pitcher. I just hope they don't have to use him.
Yeah, I'm not.
But regardless, good game. I don't want to shit on anyone.
No, we don't need any negativity here. Yusei Kikuchi had his first scoreless full inning out of the bullpen since August the 18th at New York. So since then, it's been the only other scoreless outing is when he came in and got one out against the Angels.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's been kind of an up and down wild ride, but hey, he came in and it wasn't a three up, three down because there was a walk, but it was two strikeouts, four up, four down. Is that what you'd call it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Four up, four down, yeah.
Yeah, four up, four down, sure.
Why not? All right. Let's take a look at what's going on around the American League. The Yankees got red hot at the right time. They've now won seven in a row. They swept the Boston Red Sox, and their magic number to clinch the division is two. So basically, if they beat the Jays once in this series, which in all likelihood they will beat them once in this series, they will clinch the division at the Rogers Center. But if that isn't fuel for wanting to go sweep the New York Yankees and not have them celebrate an American League East title on your turf, I mean, come on, how much more motivation do you need?
I wish I had the tweet available because a few people have pointed this out. I think it was Ben Nicholson Smith. Yeah. There was a chaos thing where it involves some luck on the out-of-town scoreboard, and I think the Jays winning the first two games of the series, but then losing the last one, they could clinch a playoff spot. Not home field, not first wild card, anything like that, but a playoff spot. Guarantee themselves in. I mean, they're basically there already, but it would be the official thing. And the Yankees could clinch the AL East at the same time. So we could have two teams celebrating in Toronto at the same time, which would be really funny.
Yeah, it would be like a weird sort of image of the Jays losing to the Yankees. The Yankees on the field, they're celebrating the division title. Then the Jays go into their clubhouse and pop the champagne because they clinched a wild card spot. It'd be quite something.
Yeah, it'd be wild.
Very confusing.
Yeah, that as much as that sounds funny, I think that would kind of suck.
Yeah.
Because I think your celebration then is overshadowed by your opponent because they won the more impressive thing.
Yeah.
And they're celebrating at home. I don't know. I hope the Jays pull off a sweep here. We don't get to see the Yankees celebrate here, but unfortunately we're lined up to likely see Aaron Judge hit his historic home run and see them clinch the division, which fucking sucks.
It might not be a fun week.
Yeah, it might be not the most enjoyable 3 days.
The good news on the out-of-town scoreboard, at least, is Tampa has to go play Cleveland, and then they end the year with Houston and Boston.
That's tough.
So that helps the Jays stay, hopefully, in front of them. Right now, the Jays are two games up on the Tampa Bay Rays, and they are, I think,
two and a half up on Seattle as well. Seattle had that, speaking of around the league, Seattle had a complete insane meltdown against Kansas City, of all teams. I mean, Seattle's got themselves just like the most plum schedule imaginable to finish things off. They have, it was the Angels, Oakland, Kansas City, Texas, Oakland, and Detroit. So no one that's even close to good. And they struggle with the Angels. They win just 3 of 4. They struggle with Oakland. They win just, they lose 3 of 4 to the Angels. They lose 2 of 3 to Oakland. And then they lost 2 of 3 to Kansas City because they lost that last game 13-12 because they had an 11-run sixth inning. Kansas City had an 11-run sixth inning. How?
Who pitched?
How does this happen? So their pitching line is, so they start off with Luis Castillo, and he has
got a big extension.
Yeah, he just got his huge contract, and now he's going Jose Berríos mode. He's getting it done quickly. Yeah, he goes 5 1/3, allows 5 earned runs. Then this Matthew Festa comes in, only gets 1 out, allows 2. Matt Brash comes in and gets nobody out, allows 4. Eric Swanson, 1 out, 2 earned runs, and then the next couple of guys, one of which is Matt Boyd. They complete the final two innings and don't allow any runs. But yeah, that's not great for Luis Castillo in his new contract. And then this combination of relievers allowing 8 runs while recording 2 outs.
Couple of things I want to point out here. The Mariners having a reliever named Penn Murphy is hilarious.
Penn Murphy sounds like the main character in like a young adult detective novel.
Yeah, he does.
Right.
That's a good point. Hopefully we don't have to see him pitch in the playoffs. But also the idea that, who was it? Matt Brash, I think, gets credit for the blown save there. And it's like, man, like everyone in, or sorry, Eric Swanson got the blown save tagged to his stat line. It's like everyone in front of you just shit their pants en route to your team giving up like an 11-run lead, and you get tagged with the blown save because you gave up like the last two earned runs.
Yeah, I think I would have handed it to Matt Brash, who came in and allowed two hits and two walks and four earned runs with zero outs. That's who I'd give the L and the BS to.
Yeah, he should get both of those. He did get tagged with the loss, though. You're right. All right, Seattle, like you said, lost 2-3. They go Texas, Oakland, Detroit to finish it off. Baltimore, big split for them against Houston. That could have been way worse for the Baltimore Orioles. They play Boston, New York, and then the Jays to close it out, but they're four games back of Seattle. It's not looking great for the Baltimore Orioles. They're probably not going to do it. No. 10 games to go in the season. You've got to gain four. Like, you basically have to go like 9-1, I think, if you want to make it, if you're the O's.
Yeah, the O's have no room for error here. Yep. I mean, Seattle seems to really be disinterested in making the playoffs, but this is going to be really hard for them to blow. I mean, anything's possible. I personally would like to see Baltimore get in because I just think it would be good to see four AL East teams in the playoffs at the same time.
It would really send a message to the league that, like, hey, maybe we need to do something about this.
Yeah.
Or it would do the opposite. They'd be like, look, if you all have good years, you can make the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Winning the AL East is, you know, it's more impressive than doing a lot of other things in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
This year kind of just goes to show it.
All right, let's take a look ahead for the Toronto Blue Jays, brought to you by our friends at PointsBet Canada.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, Coombsy, it is a three-gamer against the New York Yankees. Gausman versus Severino, Berríos versus Jameson Taillon, and then a bullpen day on Wednesday against Gerrit Cole when the Yankees could potentially clinch. Yikes.
Or maybe they get the clinching done early, and then we see them resting guys.
Like
and
a
then,
Band-Aid being ripped off.
Yeah, that would be, I think, fine. But, because I'm thinking back to, remember when the Jays clinched in 2015 and they were in Baltimore? I think it was like the first leg of a doubleheader. It was the day before a doubleheader. And the next day, all the guys playing the doubleheader were just guys you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
So ideally, that's what we see from the Yankees. So we can get some wins here. That'd be nice. But I don't know. This is going to be a challenging series. The Yankees have really pulled it together. Their pitching's been a lot more solid. That's kind of what was their challenge when they were struggling for that couple of months. Is the starting pitching just wasn't quite as good, and they've got, three strong starters lined up for this series. It won't be an easy one, but the Jays have played the Yankees pretty well this year. I don't think it's inconceivable to win the series at all.
So I'm just going through this exercise again. Manoah would get what game? The first game against Boston on the 30th. That's Manoah's next scheduled start. Couldn't you, hypothetically, if you wanted to, give him the third game in this Yankee series at home and then also pitch him game 161? You'd be speeding up his rest a little bit, but if you wanted to potentially get him in twice before the end of the season, and the game 162 creates an issue because you're starting him on short rest for a potential game 3 of the wildcard series, couldn't you speed up his start right now? You could give him, so he'd be pitching on, I guess it's 3 days rest, so you don't want to do that if you don't have to. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily ideal. I just think best case scenario is
you roll through the regular season and you don't need to start him 162. Just we're probably overthinking it.
Yeah, I think we're overthinking it. The key is just win those games, win those games, win those games. Yep. He pitches on Friday, September 30th against the Sox. And then his next start is exactly 1 week later, and it's wild card game one at home, and we're hosting, I don't know, Baltimore.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Unlikely, because they'd have to catch both of them. It's the most likely is the Jays are hosting the Rays.
You think so?
I think so.
You think it's the Rays? Okay.
Two games up on them right now. The Rays are ahead of the Mariners. I think you're
probably right. The Rays have a more difficult schedule
than
Seattle does. Okay.
Yeah, Luis Severino gets the ball today. Our friends at PointsBet Canada do have the Jays as favorites in this game, minus 120 on the money line. The Yankees are plus 105. Jays plus 175 on the run line. And Kevin Gausman, his over-under for strikeouts, is set at 6.5. Luis Severino's on the other side for the Yanks. He's looking, you know, pretty good. He got lit up against Cincy randomly. He only made it through two innings, gave up four earned runs. But other than that, he went six scoreless against Pittsburgh and then five against Pittsburgh, only allowing one earned run. So he's doing against bad teams, but he's pitching fine is my point.
One random question, and I saw people talking about this on Twitter over the weekend, is it seems the race has become anticlimactic because there's so many playoff teams now that, you know, all we're doing now is just jockeying for position largely. It's like, you know, Baltimore could hypothetically get in, but the real storyline is who's the home team.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way they could make this more interesting, like make it more worthwhile to be the number one wildcard team? The one thing I saw suggested that's kind of interesting is put the home wildcard team up 1-0 in the series already. So they only have to win one game. The other team has to win then two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting. But then you also have to do that with the top division, the division team that's playing in the wild card, right? Because you can't make you can't make winning the wild card more valuable than winning the AL Central, although it probably should be. But like, you know, so then it would have to be both those lower seeds have to go on the road and win back-to-back games to move on. I feel like that's just getting a little bit confusing. If you're the better team, you should be able to win two or three, so like whatever.
Yeah, they're obviously never going to do that either, because the whole point of adding these extra teams is to have more more TV revenue, more games on there. So yeah, I mean, also what would happen if, say, Cleveland's the Central Division winner and the team they're hosting is a wild card team that has a better record than them? It's not going to happen this year, but it's...
I mean, it could happen
this year. Yeah, it could happen this year. It's pretty unlikely.
Seattle's only 2.5 back of Cleveland, yeah, technically. You're right. And that's with Cleveland going 9-1 in their last 10 and Seattle going 3-7.
I don't think being the division winner in that situation should guarantee you the home field in that series.
I don't think it should either. You should get relegated to being basically a wild card team. The Jays and Cleveland are tied right now. The Jays should be the higher seed if they have the better record. Because you clearly did it in a better division.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many kinks to work out here. It's such a weird thing. Baseball's gotten so goofy.
It has. I'll work through it. Or it'll just be goofy forever and we'll get used to it. Maybe it won't seem as goofy.
Maybe they'll just change the rules every year and it'll be stupid and it'll just be kind of funny.
Start bringing in like the CFL does, a crossover team. Like a National League team that has to go play in the AL because their record's better.
I think, honestly, the easiest way around it is make the league 32 teams, add two more, and then have four divisions of eight. And then,
yeah, probably.
What do you have? Your number one? I think the NFL always had the best playoff before they changed it.
Yeah,
with the six and the six, and then.
But if you did expand to 32, and then you four divisions of eight, you could still do AL NL, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could just have the top two from each division get in, and then there's two wildcard teams from the league. Boom, done. That'd be the easiest way to do it.
Makes some more sense.
Anyways, we're getting probably that's a winter conversation.
That's a conversation for January, and we have nothing to talk about.
Exactly. All right, that's gonna do it for episode 114 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash. Promo code GAMEDAY25. That gets you 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. GAMEDAY25. Shout out to PointsBet Canada as well. Coombsy, let's hope the Yankees don't clinch at their dome. It's not going to happen. Austin Matthews throwing out the first pitch tonight as well. Hoping for a sweep. Enjoy the week, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Yeah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.